It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. It's official come Friday. Microsoft takes over Nokia, and you won't believe what's about to happen. It's next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 359, recorded April 23rd, 2014. Microsoft Mobile, oi. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Lynda.com. Learn what you want, when you want, with access to over 2,400 high-quality online courses and training videos, all for one low monthly price. Try it free for 7 days. Visit lynda.com/windows. That's lynda.com/windows. And by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile by Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Go to ShareFile.com, click the microphone, and enter Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly. Time to talk about Microsoft, the most exciting company in technology today. And with us to do that, the two people who wisely, many years ago, chose Microsoft as their beat. It's been an up and down voyage.
Leo, you know that scene in the movie Conan where all those people pushing that thing in a circle and then eventually only Arnold Schwarzenegger is left?
Yeah, that's you.
That's us.
Yeah. You and Mary Jo are the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's not so much a calling as it was a falling.
No, but you know, and I mentioned this before, but 2013 was the most exciting year for Microsoft in a long time, and 2014 is shaping up to be very similar, and I think it's a good time. Paul Thurrott is here from the Supersite for Windows. WinSupersite.com. He's author of many, many, many books about Windows and Windows Phone and so forth. Yep. And he's also an analyst for Penton Media and writes for Windows IT Pro Magazine. Mary Jo Foley is found on ZDNet, where she hosts, writes, posts, and frequently stirs up the All About Microsoft blog, allaboutmicrosoft.com. And there are not two better people covering this subject in the world.
That's what I always say.
I feel that way. No, I feel strongly that way. I'm constantly proud of the job that, you know, that we have you on our network. And I say that because Todd Clinton's sitting here, and I just want to make Todd Clinton jealous. So,
right.
That's mean, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's really mean. Todd is the SharePoint guy. You know, I didn't know this, but the SharePoint conference is going on in the city right now.
What?
What?
Is it?
Isn't it? Am I wrong? SP Tech Com. Con.
Oh. So it's not the Microsoft SharePoint.
It's somebody else's. Some other guy's SharePoint. Right. Tony's SharePoint Con.
Right.
They all dress up. It's kind of fun. They all dress up like Clippy or other Microsoft characters. And
it's that kind of conference.
It's a con. Not a conference. Right. It's a con.
Right. Gotcha.
Anyway, nice to have you back in studio, Todd. So if anybody has any SharePoint questions, we'll just fire them off for Todd. Hey, I got a question for you, too. I was a little perturbed, and somebody called the radio show and said, you know, Microsoft is no longer going to provide updates for Windows 8.1. And yeah. I said, what? That's not true. But apparently, well, explain to me, Mary Jo, what, because I saw this on, and then I went and I looked at a blog on TechNet, and it said, if you have Windows 8.1, Windows 8.0, you're cool.
Hey, this is a little overblown. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
If you have Windows 8.1, you've got to update it.
Right. So there's a whole bunch of pieces to this post in this story, but originally when Microsoft came out with the Windows 8.1 update, they said, we're going to give everybody 30 days to implement this. And if you don't before the patch Tuesday that falls in May, you're not going to get any more updates or fixes. So there was a lot of outcry, especially among business users, not so much consumers, because most consumers have automatic updates turned on. So you're just going to get it anyway.
It's a free update and you just do it. Right. But business doesn't just do it.
Right. So businesses were like, wait, we need more time than that. We can't test it that quickly. Right. And even though Microsoft said you don't need to test it, everything's going to just work.
It's going to be fine.
They still want to. Right. Yeah. So now that they've given the business customers who deploy through WSUS and System Center an extra 100 plus days. So they don't have to deploy it until August now.
All right.
But you still do. You have to deploy it. If you have somebody on Windows 8.1, you have to move to Windows 8.1 update by that time or more updates for you.
But
I think that's enough time.
Is there a technical reason why they want to do this? What's the story?
This is the overwhelming part. When Microsoft services its operating systems, they usually have some kind of a baseline that they build off of. In the old days, this would have been a service pack, at some point.
Right. You couldn't get updates if you didn't do XP Service Pack 2, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah. Or at least there might be different sets of updates for different versions of the service pack and so forth. It becomes a servicing point, I think the problem with Windows 8.1 update is that people look at this like it's a new version of Windows, because it certainly does change things and all that kind of stuff. But really, all this is a set of updates delivered over Windows Update, just like any other updates. And the OS version hasn't really changed. It's still Windows 8.1. And so this is now the baseline. And so it's sort of the prerequisite for future updates. So when you go to Windows Update, 60 days from now, if you haven't updated since today, you'll get this first, and then you'll just get the other updates. It's not this...
Right. It's cumulative, which a lot of people don't realize.
And this is... Yeah. And in many ways, it's... I don't know if it's similar technically, but it's similar thematically to how Microsoft updates Windows Phone. That they have these updates and they're cumulative. There are some people out there on Windows Phone 8 Update 2. There are some on Update 3, and so forth. And
it happens this way with lots of things. Video games. You're not going to be able to apply the new update if you haven't applied all the previous updates. My Sony PlayStation. Yeah. If you don't apply all the updates previous, you can't do the new update.
Yeah, right. I do think that
everybody wanted the clickbait headline, right? Everybody wanted to say,
it's so cheap.
Alarm is sounding. You aren't going to get an update.
Microsoft will no longer support it. That's crap. Yeah.
Technically, that is correct, but without explaining the reason and
no mistake. Microsoft hates businesses. That's very obvious.
Right.
But we cannot deny that fact. But I don't know. I've heard from people who are worried about this kind of thing, specifically through WSUS, having the time to do it, having to test it, and so forth, and being required to do this. They don't like the language of it, but I don't see this as a huge difference from
it's not
many instances. No,
I think
past.
You're right. I think this makes sense now. So, what's weird is that if you're on Windows 8.0, if you didn't do if you didn't do Windows 8.1 update, then you're all right.
Yeah.
So that's confusing.
All right, it's
you're
going to
get
version.
Updates.
Of course, yeah.
So you don't have to.
I know.
Windows
8.1
is a weird.
Odd.
Yeah, it is a little odd. It is odd. But, a part of this, too, is that we're already seeing this with the new PCs. All the new Lenovo PCs, for example, already have Update 1 as the baseline.
It's the starting point,
It becomes it's important because, and I just did this past weekend. I brought my old Ultrabook back to Windows 7, which is what it came with, using the built-in recovery stuff, and proceeded to go through the various updates to get it up to Windows 8.1 with Update 1. And my God, are there a lot of them. If you go to Windows 8, download all the junk, go to 8.1, then download all the updates, multiple reboots, multiple prerequisites. Before you can even get to Update 1, there's a bunch of stuff. And so this gives you kind of a baseline to work off of. And
it does give you the impression that there might be something going on with Windows 8.1 that is not going on with Windows 8.0. I mean, it's just puzzling to me.
I bet it's also about developers too, right? Like if you're writing an app for Windows 8.1, there are certain things you want to be able to count on happening. And now because of some of the changes they've made with Windows 8.1, you have to do certain things in your app that are slightly different from how it would behave with Windows 8.
And if you're
a developer, you want a baseline, right?
And because there is such a big UI difference in 8.1, they don't want to force people to go from 8.0 to 8.1. Is that it? Because wouldn't you, ideally, you'd like everybody on 8.1 update 1, right? If you're using 8, it should be 8.1 update 1.
They can't do that. Windows 8 is, a business product. It has a support life cycle. There's no, obviously they want people to upgrade, and honestly, most people on Windows 8 should upgrade. Yeah. But no, they can't force them to do it. I mean, this is part of the support life cycle.
Yeah. I think there's so probably there's never, a difference. There's a difference too, because the way they rolled out Windows 8 was through the App Store, and then Windows 8.1 came through Windows Update. So those are two very different ways of getting the operating system, right?
Actually, so I think what you meant was 8.1 was delivered through the store.
The other way.
And then the update.
Right. Update was through. Yep. Sorry, I reversed that. But yeah, so two very different sets of things going on in terms of how businesses and consumers find and think about updating and look at those updates.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what most businesses thought of 8.1 in the sense of how it was delivered, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Really crazy.
Because what they would want is do it through Windows Update as opposed to the store.
Yeah. Now, obviously, I'm sure they have their methods for doing all that kind of stuff, obviously. But this kind of, you know, I think Microsoft was doing the... Well, this is how people update apps. You know, they're used to this. It's fun. Well, you know, we'll download a 4 gigabyte OS update through the store, and then you'll just everything will be fine. It'll be fun. You know, that's not what businesses are looking for. So, yeah.
All right. This wasn't even on your list of things you wanted to talk about.
No, it's a good thing to talk about. Actually, I certainly got emails.
It got some attention, yeah. And I wanted to make sure that I say the right thing on the radio show. Basically, you guys are my advisors, and if I have a question about Windows,
you know what happens, Leo. On my website in particular, I'm not sure about Mary Jo's, but I have a hard time going back past a certain amount of time, and so depending on how much I've written in the past week, it's hard for me to remember what. You know, we didn't talk about last week. So there, in this case, because we're on a Wednesday, there's probably stuff that happened last Thursday that I no longer can remember.
it's not my world, Paul. Anymore.
You know what I mean? So like if it happens the day after Windows Weekly, the chances of it getting on next week's show are not good.
Well, and no, in fact, because imagine me, I do a show every, a couple of shows every day. Yeah. So I can never tell. Well, I know we talked about it, but did we talk about it last? Mm-hmm. I mean, what show did we
talk
about?
Well, plus, Mary Jo and I talk about stuff. I have email with many people. I'm on Twitter all day long. I've talked about this. To me, this topic has been discussed.
Yeah.
You know, but we didn't talk about it on the show.
Good. Now we can get to your official list of items.
Well, that was a great segue into our first one, actually.
Yes.
What comes next?
Right. Because, you know, as soon as Microsoft launches a new version of Windows or Windows Phone or any operating system, everybody's already saying, what's next? Okay, what's next? I haven't even tried this yet, but what's next? And because they called this thing that they launched at Build Windows 8.1 update, it made it sound like that was it, right? Like there was an update and the next thing's probably Windows 9. But sources have told us that is not the case. And there's going to be another update, probably around August. And we don't know what they're going to call it. We don't know if it's going to be Windows 8.1 update 2 or Windows 8.2 or how they're going to differentiate it from this first update. But they are definitely tracking towards having something around August, again, probably through the Windows update as a deliverable. So out on a patch Tuesday, probably. And we think the new start menu may be part of what's in this update. And they showed that start menu just as a concept, a working concept during Build in early April in San Francisco. We don't know if that's exactly what the start menu is going to look like. We don't know if it's going to be optional or if it's going to look different on touchscreen PCs versus non-touchscreen. We don't know any of that right now, but there is definitely something coming around August. And the reason is instead of going on the every one year or so cadence that they had kind of established would be the new rule for Windows, they're now trying to do something where they're saying to the development team, okay, go. Let's see how much you can get done in this sprint in 3 months or 4 months. And at the end of that, whatever you get done, we're going to ship that. And that is a huge, huge difference for how Windows is built. Huh. I can't even explain how different that is. Instead of having the 3-year here, we're going to have this long plan. We're going to list out everything that's going to be in. And if you don't make certain milestone dates, that gets tossed. This is kind of more of a race to just get more functionality, more features, fixes out to customers way, way faster.
This is a more, because of the web, this has become a very common, oops, it looks like we lost Paul. Uh-oh. Can someone get me Paul Thurrott? Pronto. This is kind of the modern way of development, thanks to the internet and to web, right, is to ship early, break it, get input, and iterate on top of it. And this kind of agile, there's a lot of different terms for this. But so that's kind of, sounds like Microsoft kind of acknowledging that that's the way they're going to start doing Windows, yep, from now on, which,
yep,
you know, it has its pros and cons. I mean, on the other, when you're doing, it's fine for an app.
Right.
When you're doing a platform, stability is a high priority on a platform, right? Mm-hmm. Consistency, right, and stability. So, yep, so failing early, breaking it, reiterating on it and improving it, that makes sense in an app. I don't know if it makes sense in a platform. This is going to be a little controversial.
So I'm sorry. Can Mary Jo explain again what's happening after Windows 8 when I missed pretty much all of that?
I know. I was like, oh, Paul.
Mary Jo, I can't remember the word you said, but it turned into like some electronic.
No. I can give you the TLDR version. They're going to do Windows a lot faster and in more bite-sized pieces. And so my point was, instead of, you know, this long planning process that they used to have with Windows, even in the 1 year time frame that they were doing more recently, now they're going to be doing sprints, right? So
yeah, there you go.
That's kind of,
I like it. I mean, and I sort of take the message here to be that we're not going to adhere to some arbitrary schedule. You know, Sanofsky, mm-hmm, used to talk about 3 years is a good amount of time, or Windows 8.1 taught us 1 year is a good amount of time, or, you know, let's split this stuff out. And I think that's the thing that's changed. Remember back in January, we were talking about threshold, probably called Windows 9, would include various things, you know, start menu, floating windows, and so forth. And I think the thing that's changed since then is Terry Myerson and his crew have looked at this and said, well, what if we can, you know,
can we
pull
faster,
one of these things out and do it faster? I mean, why not do it faster?
Why hold on to it for 2 years?
And that was the caginess I caught from them. You know, I talked to him and I talked to Joe B. and, you know, I said, you guys were kind of cagey how you described this. You know, you were saying these things would be delivered in a coming update to Windows 8.1. Yep. He said, yep. And I said, you know, you didn't say when or what the update would be called. He's like, yep. I said, well, you know, in the old days, we would take that to mean, you know, you were worried it was going to be late. But, you know, the more I talked to these guys, the more, and no one said this, but the more it occurred to me just talking to them. I think they're thinking about whether they can deliver it more quickly. And
it'll,
I think,
be
that's
done
what
when
this,
it's done. And we're not going to have an arbitrary schedule. We're going to,
or arbitrarily kind of tie it to an OS release, right?
Right.
It's the same sort of thing you see in Windows 8.1. You know, they, in old releases of that OS, they would have all this, you know, social networking integration and whatever forms of integration in the OS. But as those services were updated, Windows Phone couldn't be updated that quickly. There was no way to push that stuff out to users. And so you kind of decouple it from that kind of monolithic OS core, and then you can update things more frequently. And so, we're already seeing it in Windows Phone.
That's an important distinction. So it isn't agile in the sense that you're going to ship it, break it, iterate on it. You're going to have a rock-solid platform. You're not going to stint on testing, but when it's done, you'll ship it. Is that right?
And Windows is certainly mature. I mean, the foundation of it.
Yeah. I'm sure there's still going to be internal testing, obviously, right? They're not just going to say,
well,
okay, done.
That's
ready,
what I hope they're
the
not
fence.
Doing, which is saying, oh, well, we don't have to test as much, you know, or
no,
whatever.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. But although I'll tell you, on Azure, I've talked to them about this, and they are definitely in the mode of fail fast right now. Like, let's throw this out there and see in a day what people think of this feature. Is it working? Is it not working? Because that's the cloud, right? So you can just always update those bits very easily.
It's easy. They're your bits.
Right.
Yeah.
But on the operating system, that's a different thing because people download it, they implement it, and then if it breaks all your stuff, you're like, oh, wait, what just happened there, right?
And that is the potential downside here because you can test things all you want, but once you get this thing into the hands of millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people, all of a sudden you see weird problems that didn't crop up during testing. And, you know, getting a locally installed OS upgraded out in the field, so to, or in the world, becomes very difficult, you know, compared to upgrading an online service. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You know, this is kind of a new territory for us.
I know. Yeah.
And by the way, I will mention, I know people are right now going, hey, wait a minute, there's noise in Paul's feed. We know that, and we're working on it. So I don't think it's so bad.
I'm hoping by next week this will be fixed.
Yeah, we're not going to do anything about it, but don't worry, we do know that. And while we try not to do that, remember, this is we're making this up as we go along, kids.
I'm what did Mary Jo just say? I'm failing fast.
He's fast.
You are.
I'm failing fast.
You're failing fast. Reiterating. Yeah. So that's very interesting, and it's also going to be interesting to see what falls into which kind of bundle, right? So my sources are saying yes, Start Menu might be in this. It's not definite that it's going to be in this first, update two. But the thing that is even less likely to make it into this update is that idea of having Metro style apps in floating windows. That was something else they showed at Build, but that may take a little longer than 3 months or so. So I think that is something that still might go into either a future update if there's yet another one, or Windows 9. Which were, as far as we know, is still spring 2015.
Yeah. One of the things I've heard from many people, and this is understandable, but it also kind of betrays a lack of understanding about how these things work on that kind of Microsoft side, is, you know, third-party companies like Stardock can create these utilities that add these features that Microsoft is talking about delivering sometime over the next year. You know, why can't Microsoft just do this? Someone has already shown them the way. The support nightmare and considerations that Microsoft has when they ship something as part of Windows is dramatically higher and bigger and uglier, you know, than anything Stardock may ever face, right? I mean, Stardock serves primarily kind of an enthusiast audience with these kinds of utilities. They're not going to run into the sorts of problems that Microsoft will have around things that most of us don't think about every day, like localization, you know, just the sheer variety of platforms and so forth that are out there in the world. So, you know, give them some credit. I think Microsoft is moving as quickly as they can on this kind of thing, but it's not as simple as, you know, Stardock already did it. Why can't you just do it now? You know, it's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah. Hi there. Nice to see you. anything else in this? Windows Phone.
There's a few other pieces that are related to this. So when I get to interview Terry Myerson fairly recently, I said to him, are you guys going to try to sync up the updates that you do with Windows Phone and Windows? Because now it's all one big team, right? Unified Operating System Group at Microsoft, one happy family, or at least trying to be a happy family.
At least one family.
At least one family. And he said no, that we shouldn't think about it that way, because we know that with Windows Phone 8, there were three what they called GDRs, General Distribution Releases, later known as updates, between the time of Windows Phone 8 being released and Windows Phone 8.1 being released. So we shouldn't just assume every time there's a phone update going forward that there's going to be a Windows update that coincides with it. It's not going to work like that. And it shouldn't really work like that, because there are different needs on those two different platforms right now. So The rumor about Windows Phone is there's going to be at least two updates for that coming after Windows Phone 8.1. And the word out there is the first of these updates, which will be sometime around this summer, is going to have some kind of gesture recognition capabilities in it. Microsoft hasn't confirmed any of that publicly. They haven't even said there are going to be updates for Windows Phone after 8.1. But it's worth remembering that just because something is happening on one platform doesn't mean it's automatically going to be mirrored on the other, or that the dates are going to line up. So those two things are happening kind of in lockstep, but in parallel tracks. So that's something to keep in mind as we start seeing what happens also after Windows Phone 8.1.
Cool.
And I guess we should revisit too what we have heard and said about kind of what comes next for Windows in general, which is Microsoft, we think, is going to be simplifying the SKUs for Windows as they march towards Windows 9. We think there are only going to be three by the time Windows 9 ships. This is all information from sources too. One of them is going to be some kind of a SKU that's a consumer SKU that'll work on phones and also cheaper, smaller tablets. And that SKU may work on both ARM and Intel, probably Intel Atom. That SKU also probably will not have a desktop in it, so it won't run legacy apps because the phone doesn't obviously have a desktop. And then there are going to be two others, we think. One is going to be a regular kind of pro equivalent, which will have a desktop, be able to run legacy apps. And then there will be another that'll be strictly an enterprise SKU for people who need all the high-end capabilities. And if what we've heard is correct, we think that first SKU, that modern low-end SKU, is going to be free for everyone. And the other two are still going to be paid. Now, that's still, a lot of this is all still up in the air, very early planning stages on their part. So things could change, but that's what we've heard so far about that.
Okay.
I always wonder about the subscription angle, you know, and it's not really clear yet whether we could call Office 365 kind of a blockbuster success with consumers in particular. I mean, obviously there are millions of people that use it, but I think just from sort of the consumer perspective and user perspective, one of the best things about that service is the really liberal licensing terms for Office. And I free is obviously better than anything else, but it seems like offering some form of liberal licensing for Windows would help accomplish a few things, including getting people en masse, you know, to upgrade to the latest version of Windows, which I think is one of the big issues these days. But they don't really seem, they've never mentioned this, you know, they've never even hinted at it, or, you know, it's unclear if they're inclined to do so.
Yeah, we don't know. There's a lot we don't know. And you know what? I think it's fair to say there's a lot they don't know either, because they're changing so many of the ways things are done in the Windows team right now and the Windows Phone team that they're just kind of trying out these new models. And I think a lot of people, I don't know if I'd say they're winging it, but I'd say things are not as predictable set in stone as they have been in the past. I think that's a fair statement.
They're winging it. Oh, I'm just being silly. So does Microsoft still do the Mix conference, or is that over now? Because I'm just wondering.
It's over.
I think they're reusing names, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. The new Microsoft Office member, family member, is called Mix.
Yeah. That's going to be super confusing,
right? Yeah, what's that going to do? What does that do?
Yeah. So last fall, we heard a rumor that Microsoft was working on this new member of the Office family that was codenamed Remix. And supposedly it was going to be some kind of a quote unquote digital storytelling app, whatever that meant. And this week, Microsoft
knows there's a huge need for that.
Because you want to tell
digital story. Leo.
Tell my digital story.
But this week they actually put this site online. I don't know if this was a mistake or intentional. They put a Mix preview site online, and it talks about Office Mix being an add-in to PowerPoint that allows people to do audio and video recordings of themselves making presentations and then send that up to the cloud and have that be remixed in some way. So that you can get analytics about the presentation and about the way people are interacting. You can add digital quizzes and do a lot of other kind of add-ons to your presentation.
So I can actually see a market for this. So this I mean, this is kind of what people are doing right now with courses and lectures and how-to. It's big on YouTube, right? Is this
right?
The idea that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think they're thinking business. But
also education too. They really are pitching it hard to education.
And frankly, I think there may be some gamers who might use this.
This is the in the 1960s we called this the Raytheon Language Lab, right? You would have like the all metal, you know, microphone stuff, and that you'd be speaking Spanish, and your teacher could listen.
It's a language lab. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why I said gamers, because it has to be PowerPoint, right?
I believe it has to be PowerPoint.
Okay, yeah. So forget that I said gamers. You'd have to. So, but you would. But teaching, I could see for sure.
Although,
I mean, these things have a way of bleeding around, right? I mean,
I know. And you know, like now with the Xbox One operating system being able to actually run apps, it's not as far fetched as it may have seemed to have something like this run on Xbox One.
Because they have the client, yeah, they have the people participating through their TVs with an Xbox One. You could probably interact with it via voice or your
see the most popular hands. Category right now on YouTube easily is gamer sitting and playing a game and talking about it as he plays through it.
Right,
that's really popular right now.
Yep.
Yeah, my son lives on those kind of videos.
Yeah, kids love them.
Yeah.
Eat them up. So I don't know. That's why that leapt to mind. But of course, if you're stuck in PowerPoint, that's not going to help you.
Stuck
but maybe
in
if this doesn't look, it may not look like PowerPoint, right? I'm betting this doesn't really look like PowerPoint when it comes out. So,
yeah, and then they said, if you're a teacher, you can. I mean, this is what you want to do. You record your perfect lecture with all your notes, the slides, the animations, the illustrations, and then you don't have to ever do it again.
At that point, yeah,
yeah,
right.
And so there's interactivity in it as well.
Yes, there's interactivity in it, and
I like
it also. Yeah, it's actually kind of it's intriguing, right? Like there's some things to it that you could say, oh, I could see somebody using that.
Yeah.
They're saying it'll work on the Mac, but there'll be some limitations. And right now, for the test build, the preview build that people can sign up for, you need to have at least Office 2013 on a PC. So Mac users, it says, are going to be able to view these mixes. And other devices will also be able to view them, but we're not sure how much they'll actually be able to do things like write on the slides, which you can on the Windows version.
That's cool, though. That's really neat.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yep.
I can see a lot of
we don't know when this is coming. Yeah, I don't know if this will be part of the next version of Office, whatever it ends up being called, Office 2015, or if it's going to just be a separate category of new Office apps that come along or how that's going to show up. We don't know if it's going to be a Metro-style app. Originally, the tips that we got about Remix, when it was codenamed Remix, was that it was going to be a Windows Store Metro-style app.
It does acknowledge that a lot of, these days, a lot of presentations are not done in person.
Mm-hmm.
They're done over the internet, right?
Right.
Yeah, and PowerPoint already has the capability to broadcast presentations.
But now we can see
the internet very easily. It's actually really nice.
That's neat.
Yeah.
You don't have you would have to go to Vegas anymore for those
that would be so awesome.
Yeah.
Ooh. That would be I would pay.
It's not going to happen that quickly, but
I would pay never to have to go to Vegas, says Mary Jo Foley.
Yeah, I would.
Never again.
You could just pay for a first class trip to Vegas and do the presentation on the plane and then fly back.
Guess where I'm presenting from? The plane. All right, we're going to take a break. There is some big news about Nokia coming up in just a little bit. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, we're talking about Windows. If you want to learn about Windows, of course, listening to this show is highly recommended, but it's not the only way. Maybe you'd like to get some online courses, some online instruction. Maybe you'd like to learn about SharePoint, how to use it to publish to the web. Yes, Todd Clinton. How to share documents and manage permissions. Or if you're a SharePoint administrator, how to design workflows that boost your team's productivity. Wouldn't you like that? There are many ways to learn, but none better, in my opinion, than lynda.com. I love Lynda, partly because Lynda has some of the best instructors, people who are not, you know, YouTube stars, but actual people working in the field. People who understand it. If you want to learn the latest Office 365 tricks, become an Excel expert, use Outlook to increase your productivity, you got to love lynda.com. Learn photography from a pro, videography from a pro. Learn web design and development from a pro or 3D and animation. Audio and music production, you're sure they got that. Lynda.com offers Excel courses at all levels. You can learn over 65 tips, tricks, and shortcuts in Excel 2013. That's one course. Learn how to move, copy, and analyze large amounts of data stored in multiple worksheets. I'm just going to search. I bet you if I search for pivot tables, this is the one thing I would love to learn how to use an Excel. Why? My goodness. Here it is. And this is, you just saw me do something that's really cool about lynda.com. Because they have transcripts of all their courses, you can search into the transcripts and actually get the information you want. So here's up and running with Excel 2010, building a pivot table. Excel 23, pivot tables. Wow, this is a whole course. Pivot tables in depth, 4 hours and 50 minutes with Kurt Fry on how to do pivot tables in Excel 2013. That is awesome. Of course, you got the Excel 2013 Essential Training and on and on and on. I've got pages of pivot table stuff, including for the Mac. And that's one of the things I love about lynda.com. In fact, if you just visit, if you just go to lynda.com and click the Browse the Library, you will see huge, vast quantities. There's over 2,400 courses, more courses added every week, produced in beautiful high quality. Hundreds of courses on Microsoft software, including all of Microsoft Office, Windows 8.1, Windows Phone, developing apps for Windows devices. Yes, you can learn to be a developer. You can learn to be a developer at lynda.com. So, here's my deal for you. If you visit lynda.com/windows right now, you can do it for 7 days. The run of the place, every video, you could take how many courses, if you stayed up all night for 7 days, how many courses could you take? Whether you have 15 minutes or 15 hours, each course is structured so you can learn from start to finish. You can jump right to the part you want. There's courses for all levels, beginner, intermediate, advanced. And as I said, the instructors are the best. I know many of them, especially in photography and Photoshop. Seems like all my buddies work for lynda.com. Lynda.com also offers, this is new, certificates of completion. When you finish a course, you can publish that to your LinkedIn profile. And that's valuable. That says, hey, I've studied this. I know this. Normally $25 a month for the entire course library, $37.50 for the premium plan, including exercise files that let you follow along with the instructor's projects. But you could try it right now, as I said. A full 7-day trial free for you. lynda.com/windows. That's lynda.com/windows. I love Lynda. I know Lynda Wyman. We've used to have her on the screensavers regularly. She's great. She's put together a wonderful company that is a real asset. And many companies, including ours, will have a Lynda account for their employees to polish up their skills or to learn a new skill. I was just reading about Phil Leiben, who's another great friend and CEO of Evernote. And he said, I have a friend who's a nuclear submarine officer. And he said, on a nuclear sub, everybody has to know everybody else's job. Of course. And so he does that in his company. He brings people into the meetings, even if it's a different department, so that they can learn how the company works. Everybody needs to know everybody's job. Great way to do it. Lynda.com, LYNDA.com. Make yourself more valuable at work with Lynda.com. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, The Invaluable 2, talking about Nokia. By the way, an update, my 1520, I ordered it on this show last week. I thought I'd have it by this week, but it has not come yet. I will check expenses, but they said they had to get more stock in. So, but nevertheless, I'm excited about that. Do I have to call it a Microsoft mobility phone now? What do I?
Please don't ever call it that.
It sounds like there's something wrong with it.
I think there's been a little too much emphasis on the name. I think that's like saying that Microsoft Office is the, you know, business productivity, whatever they call that business.
No, name. Everybody calls it Office.
It's just the name of an organization.
We'll still be able to call them Nokia phones, I hope.
They haven't said yet, right? And I suspect at some point they will. But my understanding is that they can use the Nokia brand for years and will and could. And they own now the Lumia brand. So I don't know. I think they'd be silly to screw with it. But I guess we'll see. They haven't said, right? They haven't said exactly what their plans are.
I'm looking for it now. They gave us some kind of an indication. Anybody in the chat remember that?
But the big news is that they expect to close Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Finally. Chatroom says they can only use Lumia. Nokia is not, they did not sell the company to Microsoft. They sold just the mobility division, the phone division. And there are plenty of others still.
So, yeah, technically what they bought was devices and services.
I got it. But Microsoft licensed the Nokia brand for 10 years.
Wow.
10 years, yeah. Yeah, so they can keep putting out devices called Nokia, whatever. You know?
Right, that was the original agreement when they announced they were going to buy them. So I don't know if they've changed that.
I mean, I don't expect them to go 10 years. And the other thing is Nokia, the part of the company that's left, actually within a much shorter period of time, I think 2 years, can start their own phone efforts if that's what they want to do.
Now your smoke alarm is going off.
I was wondering if anyone had heard that. I heard footsteps going to address
the building immediately, Paul.
Oh, man. And
my doofus comment will be, oh, my wife must be cooking again.
You'll be eating at McDonald's tonight, my friend.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm just checking my, there's still a waiting stock on my lovely 15. That's a bummer. I was looking forward to getting it. I got the bright red edition.
Yeah, that's a really nice phone.
I can't wait. Well, it's big, but I got the big one because I realize I'll be showing it on the air, and the bigger the interface, the better.
That's good for that.
Yeah. I won't actually put it in my pocket.
Here's another update. Nokia can re-enter the phone business after December 31st, 2015.
Oh, that's interesting.
2015. That's even closer.
That's,
so.
That's a year and a half.
18 months. Yeah, 18 months.
Holy cow.
I don't think anyone expects that. No. I mean,
right.
But that is a shockingly short time frame, I think.
Oh, and also back on the branding thing, Nokia brand can be used for 10 years, but only on the Asha line of phones.
Oh, what? So they can't call them Nokia Lumias. They're just Lumias.
They could do Lumias, right?
Seem right. Okay. Well, okay.
Yeah.
They're going to be
Microsoft Lumias.
They're going to be Microsoft Lumias. Or maybe not even Lumias. Who knows?
They could call them Surface Lumias.
The Surface Icon.
Ugh.
No.
The branding stuff is terrible.
They've never been good at that.
It's one of many things that could go horribly wrong here. But
they've never been good at that. But you know what? The phones are beautiful.
I know. And Nokia brand outside of the U.S. is a big draw, right? I mean, that's a tough thing to lose.
Remember when Windows 2000 shipped the boot screen, and I think on the box, and I think just the general branding, it said based on NT technology.
Oh, that reassures everyone, of course.
yeah, it was kind of an ugly way to make that transition. Knowing Microsoft, there will have to be some, you know, formally Nokia, however they decide to do it. I'm sure there's going to be something like that.
But this is a bit
in the United States, nobody cares, but for the other 90% of the planet, you know, that brand is actually a really strong brand, especially, you know, for phones. And
well, that's why they kept the Asha part, right? Because Asha is the low-end stuff that's most important in the developing world.
Yes.
Sure, sure.
But it does seem like they'd like to keep it for the rest of the phones, too.
It does.
Yeah, that's okay. It's going to be very confusing if you know, I mean, I'm confused already, but then I'm easily confused.
It's okay because this thing is going so gangbusters that a little confusion right now won't screw anything up.
Do you think
it'll be
fine. Why my 1520 has not shipped? Because they want it. They've got somebody in Norway scraping off the
Nokia logo.
I don't know why Norway. Because Nokia is in Finland, but scrubbing.
It is a solid color through and through, so they could probably.
Let me.
Can I just melt it a little bit?
We have a Norwegian fella here. Let me just see the Norwegian. This is the 920.
Yeah,
it does say Nokia pretty prominently on the back there. So,
if you were to take a screwdriver and gouge that right now, would that come off?
Can I erase that? He says, no, stop. What's your name again? Ola. Thank you, Ola, for letting me. This is such a. That's the same red I think I'm going to have, right? On my 1520. That's pretty.
Yeah, I don't think
it's just going to be swollen. It's going to be big. It's going to be.
It could be
huge.
Right.
I really like. I love the design of these phones.
If you put that on the train track and let a train run over it, it would probably go out to approximately the same size as a 1520. It would be a little flatter, you know, and bigger in each dimension.
I like the size of the 1520.
I can't wait. I'm so frustrated because it's just. I know it's imminent. Yeah. I paid for it already, but I don't have it. In my little hot little hands. Actually, my. Man hands. So Stephen Elop is he already in Seattle or?
Yeah, I believe so. He's already the executive vice president of devices.
Moved to Microsoft. Yeah.
Well, you know what though? I haven't looked today, but I think just the other day I looked. He's still not listed on Microsoft's.
He's not on the website. I saw that too.
On Microsoft/News. which is probably illegal. I'm sure they have to be careful about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but. True.
So he does. So who signs his paycheck?
Leo, who doesn't sign his paycheck? He's probably getting it from both ends, you know.
Okay, and that means all the regulatory hurdles have been cleared.
Right. And so as of Friday, Microsoft gets 30,000 more employees.
Yep. And if you thought it was bad, that's a lot on campus. Wait until those guys show up.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You need 30,000 people to make those phones?
Yeah, so most of those people are manufacturing, and they're not located. They're not going to be in Redmond, right? They're going to be in India, in Korea. Yep. They're going to be in.
So Nokia makes its own phone. It doesn't go to Foxconn and say, make these, like it's Apple and everybody else does, make these for me. They have a Nokia factory with an.
They do have manufacturing plants all over the world.
That's interesting. That's not how it's done for most other countries. Yeah. I don't know how Samsung does it. Samsung might make their own, but Apple doesn't. Apple contracts that out.
Yeah. Well, you know, when Apple got into, well, not just phones. I mean, when Apple, the way Tim Cook came up through Apple was he was looking at cost-cutting measures. And at the time, going to China was the, you know, the right way to do that as far as saving
costs. It just seems like 30,000 people for just the phone.
I think Nokia's just been doing this for so long. That's the way.
Wow.
That's.
I think some of those people are not going to have jobs on February 26th or April 26th. I just feel like.
I'm curious about that. But Microsoft agreed to take them on. I don't know. I don't know that they could just sign the agreement and then start firing people. I'm not really sure how that's going to work.
Actually, that's not unusual in an acquisition like that is fire everybody and then hire the ones selectively, hire the ones back. That way, at least you start seniority fresh.
Yeah,
that's fairly.
I am a little worried about the impact this is going to have on phone sales and on phone releases, too. Right. I mean. Obviously, they have some things in development and some things that are just, you know, rolling along. But, this is going to impact people at Nokia. This is going to impact, you know, every part of it.
Yeah. I mean, the good part is I think you could see Nokia, the people who they're bringing in through the Nokia acquisition, take a more active role in what Microsoft's doing at the Surface. Because they have the supply chain stuff down pretty cold, and Microsoft does not. So I think you're going to see them become more involved, maybe even in the manufacturing of Surface and Surface peripherals. I mean, maybe they can also do that when they bring the manufacturing capabilities on.
Here's the Nokia website with a strangely distorted photo on it.
I was going to say, what is this?
But they say the title of this post is Weak Links, Not If We Can Help It. And it's a snapshot of their supply chain. And basically it says most manufacturing is done in-house.
Yeah.
And what they point out is, and this is an interesting point, complying with our strict internal social and environmental requirements. And probably the only way to really make sure you're not using child labor and polluting is to make it yourself. But that's got to be costly. Especially problematic when supply and demand goes up and down. You know, if those are your employees, you don't lay them off because this phone's not selling in the month of June.
It is old school. It's the way, you know, cars are made. You know, it's
it's kind of surprising to me.
And Microsoft does things the Apple way, if you will, when it comes to hardware. I mean, they do the same kind of thing.
Yeah, they don't make the Surface, right?
They don't
make the Surface. No, it's probably made through Foxconn and Pegatron and all those other companies, I'm sure.
They actually, Nokia says they do their own raw material extraction and processing.
Yeah.
So among the 30,000 people are a few miners.
Like scientists, yeah, paleontologists.
Holy capoli.
I know.
Yeah. Yep. It's an old school kind of weird company.
I like it. I don't know if it's nimble
enough. Don't get too attached to it, Leo, because it's about to be subsumed. So. Yeah.
Right. But if you want to buy a green product, I mean, this is probably because of this a better, sustainable product.
And with the Lumia 930, literally green is coming too. So,
they do not buy metals from the Republic of Congo,
right?
Because they're concerned about the conflict there, the so-called conflict minerals. I mean, this is really quite an interesting page. And because they're Scandinavian, you know, they're not lying. Right? Am I right?
Well, I was going to say because of legal and regulatory requirements.
No. It's cultural. It's all cultural.
Yeah.
Actually, they're not. Is Finland? They're not Scandinavian. Finland's not considered part of Scandinavia. It's really? Its own little world.
So would you include Denmark in there, but not Finland?
Denmark, Norway, Sweden, all Scandinavian. Nope, Finland, yeah. not so much.
Interesting.
But, you know, I just learned that, by the way, on the Craig Ferguson show, because he had some Finnish people on. And he, like me, thought that was Scandinavia. But now, fortunately, I have.
I think it is. No?
No. I've got a Norwegian fellow who's definitely knows the truth. And he says, not quite.
Probably got some people from Russia who think it's part of Russia.
Well, but... it is. It's practically Russian. That's right. That's right. It's just across the Baltic.
Okay. Well, no, it's...
But, you know, it's literally... partly a linguistic thing, because the Finnish language isn't part of the kind of Scandinavian language group. And so I think it's partly linguistic.
Oh, they have more umlauts, or how do you...
No, Finnish is a Turkic language, I believe. Nice. Not that this show has the proper venue to discuss these things, but...
No, no.
So
it's educational.
So Nokia is very proud. They buy conflict-free tin.
I love Nokia. This is the saddest thing that's ever happened. I still feel terrible about this.
Really? You're a Microsoft guy.
Right, and I've seen what happens to companies that Microsoft buys, and I've seen what happens when Microsoft consolidates things. I mean, I think Nokia is the best thing that's ever happened to Windows Phone.
You kind of feel like those 30,000 people, some of them are going to be out of work. I just feel... I
hadn't really even considered that aspect of it until just now, but I guess I'm more concerned with how this is going to impact, you know, their momentum, both in a sort of a design sense.
Yeah.
I'm
with you. I'm excited. These Lumia phones are easily the best Windows phones, right? I mean, there's no question.
How do these keep getting so much better? It's amazing. I mean, I'm just worried that something's going to change. I do agree that they could impact Microsoft in a positive way. We're talking about Surface. I mean, not that there's anything inherently wrong with Surface per se, but I would love to see Nokia's impact on the Surface organization. I'm curious about some things, you know, whether they're going to consolidate some of that stuff down. You know, Nokia has their own tablet. Microsoft has their own tablets. You know, maybe we only need one line of those. But I don't know. The net result, I'm nervous about this. And it's going to take a while before I get over that.
Yeah. Mm. I'm trying to be an optimist about it, because if you look at some of the more recent acquisitions Microsoft's done, and I'm thinking about Yammer as one example, they have left them alone mostly.
Well, Yammer had a lot of benefit from that, right? Because they got included into the enterprise suite, all of that. But they maintained some integrity, product integrity. Same thing with Skype right now, right?
Skype is even more pronounced that way.
Yeah. It's not going to happen in Nokia.
Let's be optimists.
Are they going to leave the headquarters in Finland?
They already don't own the headquarters in Finland.
They don't. They sold
them. I think they're in a lease situation over there.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Espoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like saying that. Bye-bye, Espoo.
A lot of the top people who were working with Elop at Nokia are joining Microsoft. They're moving to Redmond. They're coming over to be part of it.
Somebody in the chat room suggests, Deep Pan suggests, maybe Microsoft should move its manufacturer to the Nokia plant.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. I think
that would make Surface better, wouldn't it?
Part of the culture of Nokia is the fact that they are from Finland. That is their background. The people who come there, by and large, would be from around that area, or at least in Europe, typically. And that, I think, impacts their design, their outlook on life, the way they do things. It's non-Pacific Northwest Microsoft kind of blandness. And it's cool that those guys are coming to Redmond. But, I mean, over time, you know, that kind of stuff gets filtered down a bit. And I don't know. I think the culture and design sense and the kind of curious uniqueness of Nokia is partially because they are Finnish. Mm-hmm. And now they're not going to be anymore.
I think you have to look also at how closely the Windows Phone team at Microsoft and Nokia have been collaborating, right? Like, there's a lot more emphasis now on design among the Windows Phone team, and they and the Nokia folks before this ever happened were already working together on design. And they were talking together about optimizing things for design and thinking that way, instead of thinking the old Microsoft way, which was design as a total afterthought. So I'm just
I appreciate you being the yin to my yang and all that, but
I'm trying.
It's like any relationship, you know. You at first it's mysterious and wonderful and new and different, and then they move in and you get tired of them. You know, and yeah. and I we'll see. I'm just, again, I agree with you. There are recent examples where Microsoft's done the right thing, or at least veered in a different direction than they used to. Yammer and Skype are both great examples of that. And I want the right thing to happen, but I am worried about it.
So do you, now this was a leaked, the whole thing about renaming it to Microsoft Mobile OI, by the way.
I'm not 100% sure it was. I believe I've actually seen this. Okay. I don't think this is.
Yeah. It's
the original one.
So this is a real, this is a real letter, real email.
This is the name. Yeah. This is
it's a note that went out to the suppliers.
Okay, well, then it says some other things that maybe this is the answers to some of our questions.
Okay.
Including they want to keep the well, let's see here. Microsoft has some all rights benefits.
Thing here, are you? Actually just like tell us joke things that are going to happen.
No, yes. This is the top 10 things Microsoft's going to do.
We can take a letter from Microsoft to its suppliers, and here are a few of the things they're going to do.
Microsoft will assume all rights, benefits, and obligations of the Nokia devices and services business, including Nokia's agreements with suppliers, customers, and partners. Right. So that's not going to change. The supplier base will be intact, even for the new company.
Mm-hmm.
32,000 people will move to Microsoft, of which 18,300 come from the assembly, manufacturing, and packing division. 4,700 people from Finland. So it's a small group, really, that are in Finland relative to the total size.
I would imagine that's mostly design, management, kind of thing, not manufacturing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And also maybe some of the patent people, since they're acquiring patents.
But the address remains in Espoo. For Nokia.
Yeah, but that could be some guy. Service box anywhere, Leo. That doesn't mean you're...
That could be just a guy forwarding the mail. Oh, here's another letter to Nokia. Let me send it over to Microsoft.
Right.
Well, this is interesting. The supplier base is going to be kept intact. Somebody's saying, and this may be the case, that strict employment regulations in Finland may prevent them from doing much to change the structure. But remember, the Finnish employees, it's only 4,700.
Right.
The vast majority are in manufacture. 18,300 are in manufacture. And those people are, as you said, in India and other places. So that, who knows what the rules are.
There was a lot of talk about this when this acquisition was first announced. It has not emerged as an issue in the months since, right? You know, that Finland would have some EU-style employment requirements or something, or regulations that we're unfamiliar with here in the United States. It's odd to me that that hasn't emerged as an issue.
HTC has said, hey, Nokia, if you're selling, or hey, Microsoft, if you're selling the Chennai plant, we'll buy it.
Yep.
We'll take that plant.
That plant's been caught up in some tax controversy around Nokia and tax.
That was one of the things that held up the acquisition.
That's what we thought, although they kept denying that. Right?
Yeah,
I don't know if it's been addressed.
Well, Nokia is still battling the Indian courts, a $500 million tax bill.
Right. So we may hear that that plant doesn't transfer over.
Yeah, nobody has said it's for sale, but just HTC.
It's not enough to impact the sale. In other words, Microsoft
came over, they knocked on the door, they said, if you should ever want to sell, hey, call us, because I got a check right here with your name on it. very interesting.
Yeah. And so the day everybody should be watching for more news on this is this Friday, because it's not just going to be like, oh, yeah, and it's final now. I'm sure we're going to hear more details that then can be released on Friday. That's my guess.
Yeah. I'm going to wear a black armband on that day and fly my Nokia flag at half staff, or half, whatever you call that. I don't have a
I'm
flag.
Just looking. Boy, the chat room has been great on this, because they've got lots of links. This is there's a plant in Brazil, China. Yeah. Couple in China, Hungary, India, Mexico, South Korea, and Vietnam. And all, actually, they're, so all of these are company owned, which is interesting. So those are, that, you know, that's, Microsoft signed on to something quite massive.
Big. Yes.
Yeah. It's unusual, right? Because usually you buy a software company. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. It's like, physically, this is a small entity. Nokia is like a, it's like you just bought like Kia or Hyundai or something. Like they have all these manufacturing facilities all around the world.
Now Dr. Pizza published an article this morning on Ars Technica, and he says the terms of the sale have been changed somewhat.
A little bit.
This is weird. Nokia's web and social media presence will be managed by Microsoft for up to a year.
That's not that weird, right? I mean,
I don't think this is a big deal.
Employees at
Nokia does a pretty good job, though, on the web. Like, they have that Nokia Conversations blog. And Nokia's website is actually quite good. And so I think what they're talking about is the stuff related to the phones and the apps that are on the phones and that Conversations blog and so forth. Those people are just going to be working at Microsoft.
Yeah.
I love it that it's Microsoft Mobile Oi.
Yeah.
Doesn't that mean limited?
Yeah, it's like limited. Yeah. There's Oi and there's two. Oil and Oi.
Which O-Y-J, I'm sure means,
or something.
Right?
Oi.
There's one that has a J. O-Y-J.
And that's more like a corporation, and Oi is more like a limited. Yeah. I just like saying Microsoft.
I'm curious
Microsoft
about the
Mobile
legal Oi. Entity, though. It's been described as like an affiliate, like a Finnish affiliate of Microsoft.
Huh.
Mm. You know?
Huh. I think those people.
I don't know if
I think those people stay
to
in
any
Finland.
Independence or,
I think those 4,000 employees probably stay in Finland, at least the ones they keep on. And I hope so, because that is they do have a good design team. I like what
they
really do. Yeah, and it's unique.
Those guys. But I bet the Cura design stuff has got to be going to Redmond. It's got to be.
Thank you.
I know.
What percentage
of the traffic on the 520?
What percentage of doesn't like Nokia like own all of the Windows Phone sales? I mean, it's like must be most of them.
93% in April.
Wow. Yeah. And the 5.2 line is a big part of that. I see here what you said, 40%.
Yeah. AdDuplex every month does a survey of Windows phones out in the world, you know, the CAN survey, and they come up with all these interesting statistics about which phone models are the most frequently used out in the world and so forth. And for the past year, the charts have been dominated by the Lumia 520 and its variants, you know, the 521 and so forth. I guess that just peaked in the sense that in April, for the first time, the 520 and its brethren have not grown month over month, but combined they occupy just about 40%. So 4 in 10 of all Windows phones out in the world, and many of the phones in the top 10 are phones that were released a long time ago, going back, in fact, to the Lumia 800 from a couple of years ago.
Well, yeah, because people don't buy a new phone every year.
Right. Just kind of interesting. I mean, and this phone is a kind of a microcosm of the Windows phone market in a sense that what this phone proves is that Windows Phone can succeed on the low end. You know, this is a device you can buy right now for $60 in some places.
But it's a good
it's
phone.
An awesome little device. Yeah, it's really, it's funny because I have access to incredible technology, you know, ThinkPad X1 Carbon and, you know, Surface tablets and all this stuff. But honestly, the past couple of years, I mean, the best deal in technology in many ways is this little device. It's just such a cool little phone that does so much. It's a offline GPS and maps, an amazing media player. It's expandable with that micro SD storage. It's awesome. It's just an awesome little phone.
Don't you love it? That's
yeah.
And so you bring up an interesting point, which is another thing we're going to be watching. What happens to the Nokia X phones, which compete head to head with
Android
this
based
little
Nokia
phones?
Yeah.
Right. And this is what goes head to head, right?
Yeah, and it's one of many reasons I never don't understand the need for this Nokia X lineup. Well, actually, I should say if Nokia was going to survive as a standalone company, the flip side of all of my hand-wringing over the sale is that Nokia was losing money, right? So as wonderful as those phones were, I was among some minority of people who understood that and were buying them. So, you know, that's a problem. And I think the going after Android was part of a grab toward just trying to be successful. It's understandable on that note. But I think the 520 represents an amazing value today. Still, it's an awesome little phone and one that I think competes very well to those Nokia X phones. The other thing, we probably talked about this like a year ago or something, but one of the coolest things about the 520 is like let's say you're an AT&T and you have an iPhone 5S or you have a Lumia 920 or whatever it is. and you're 1 year, 18 months, whatever, into your contract, and then you drop your phone in the toilet or you smash it on the ground and the screen is all splintered and you don't want to use it or you can't use it and it's broken. And of course, AT&T is not going to just give you a new phone. You spend $60, get a 520 and ride out the rest of your contract until you can upgrade.
$60 unsubsidized?
Yes. Holy and it's moly. It's awesome. It's just awesome. No, it's not, you know, LTE, crazy high-end, quad-core, whatever. It's not.
But you don't need that. But, you don't need
I
that.
Think a lot of people who, I know a lot of people have tried it, and I think a lot of people who haven't tried it and could try it would agree that it's surprisingly good for what it is. It's
Noah Mott, our chat room, said that's what I did. My wife broke her iPhone. I got her a 520.
And then you have that kind of positive experience, and so when the time comes to upgrade... Yep. His wife will probably buy an iPhone 6. That's how she is. But, you know, but I think a lot of people would, having this experience, would say, okay, so what's the high-end Windows phone look like now? I mean, maybe they would consider that, and that's cool. So that's a neat thing. And you know, so this is a trend we've seen all year long. But some of the other stuff is, you were asking, you know, what percentage of the market does Nokia own? This is not market share. It's usage share. 93.5% of all Windows phones in use right now are Nokia phones.
Not really a surprise.
Amazing. The other thing that I think that is really notable this month was that the survey was taken 1 week after Microsoft released Windows Phone 8.1. And to be clear what that means, Windows Phone 8.1 was kind of released with air quotes, right? It's available to people who join the developer program and go through a couple of hoops to get it. It's not something that anyone in the world could just turn the phone in and upgrade to immediately. Like, you have to really want it. It's not hard to do, but it's something you have to explicitly go and try to do. And even though it was only a week later, 3.1% of the phones they surveyed were already running Windows Phone 8.1. And if there are, you know, we can kind of do the usage on how many phones are out in the world and what market share is and all that kind of stuff. And that's over 1 million people already, with just in a week, you know. Running the latest version of the operating system, even though everyone's just, you know, or not everyone, but most Windows Phone 8 customers will kind of get it automatically over the summer, probably. So people went out of their way, a lot of people, to go get 8.1 immediately, and that's cool. And I think people like Mary Jo and myself and Daniel Rubino and anyone else who writes about Windows Phone, you know, play a small role in that, because we all wrote about how you can, you know, it's actually not that hard to do. If you have a Windows Phone 8 phone, you might want
to. I wouldn't have bought the 1520 if I didn't know I could do that, to be honest.
Yeah.
That was
so some interesting stuff in there.
Xbox Music is going by. Weekly.
Do what?
What? Okay. Not bye-bye.
Leo, don't mess with me.
That was mean.
There are so many ways.
That was just mean. I'm sorry. What is this? Bi-weekly updates. Well, that's crazy. That's crazy talk.
So two things here that are very interesting. One is Microsoft is communicating what they're doing with Xbox Music, which is one of its... sort of unpopular services, and you know, it's not Office, it's not Windows, you know, it's not exactly killing it in its own market, but they're going public with what they intend to do, which I think is smart and transparent and wonderful, and I love that kind of thing. But they're also, one of the things they're communicating is that they plan to update this thing bi-weekly, which is crazy. That's a crazy fast schedule. Granted, if you've been using Xbox Music on Windows Phone 8.1 in particular, you will understand why it needs that kind of updating. And actually, I would say even on Android or iOS, that's also true. I mean, it's a fairly immature mobile app, and it's something that needs some maturing. So they're going to do that. I think that's cool. And then I just have a small note in there, and I'm curious what Mary Jo thinks about this. If you were to kind of lay out Microsoft's product lines right now on a grid, and maybe this wouldn't be such a horrible thing to do, what does it look like, you know, with regards to how do these things get updated? We talked before about, you know, Windows 8.1 and how that's going to be updated. And it's not really clear that we're on some kind of formal schedule, but, you know, we have some ideas about the next year or so. You know, comparing that to Windows Server, comparing that to Xbox, which we know is every month, comparing that to Surface, which actually is also every month. And then the other Microsoft products across the board. Office 365 is something that's updated, I would say, at least once a month. But I actually believe they're on a slightly different schedule. I mean, it's interesting that all of their major product lines are being updated very quickly, much more quickly than in the past. But they're not all being updated at exactly the same time either. Like, they're not all on, you know, it's not like the whole company has adopted this very singular schedule yet.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, Xbox Music is probably one of the quicker ones right now.
Yeah. This was a crazy announcement because we've just been in the dark completely about what's going on with Xbox Music. It was just like a black hole, right? And suddenly they just came out of nowhere and said, hey, guess what? We're gonna do bi-weekly updates.
Yeah. You could go back to October 2012, I think it was, to the original Xbox Music announcement. And they said, this is what we're going to do over the next year. And you could lay it all out and say, okay, they did this, they did this, they did this. There's a couple things in there they never did and have never commented on ever again, not once ever. Like the ability, for example, the big one is I have music on a PC that I want to get up into my cloud collection. It's not in the Xbox Music Store. I want to put that up in the cloud. Like you can do if you pay Apple for iTunes, iTunes Match, or you can do on Amazon MP3 or on Google Music. I want to do that thing. You know, people want this. Still not there. No idea when it's coming. It's not in this list of stuff they said they were going to do soon. But it's odd. So, that, yeah, like she said, black hole. You know, they kind of announced it. And over time, they sort of really, you know, Android and iOS happened. They said that was going to happen. It took them almost a year, but it happened. 18 months or more in, some stuff has still not happened. So, yeah, we welcome the transparency.
Yeah. It feels like everything is on a faster schedule, but they're all on different fast schedules, like you just said. Like,
yep.
Operating yeah. systems is getting faster, and they are on a certain schedule. But then apps, like I'm thinking like those Bing apps, like Bing Health and Fitness and all those apps, they're being updated fairly regularly. But then things like Windows Mail, not very often, right?
Right.
Which is
right.
the built-in mail client. So,
like, I don't actually think there's a schedule for most of them. I think it's just...
Yeah.
You know, one day you're going to wake up and there's going to be a new version of the Mail app. And one day you're going to wake up and there'll be a new version of Xbox Music. Like, there's no way to really know, you know.
I think the main thing to keep in mind if you're trying to figure this out is things that are services, cloud services, are being updated way faster than things that are on-premises or local apps. I mean, as a very general rule. So that's something to keep in mind. Especially if you're a business customer, I say this a lot. If you don't want near monthly updates, don't be on Office 365 because that's the way they're going. Yep. And, you know, you can still run Exchange on locally and SharePoint locally. SharePoint, woo!
Hey,
shout out to Todd.
SharePoint, Todd Clint says, yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of a rule of thumb, but again, not cast in stone. And it's just something that we're going to have to figure out. And I think Microsoft has to figure out over time is how fast do you do this and how fast should you do it so you don't alienate different constituencies. Like Terry Myerson said this really well to me. He's like, you know what my 12-year-old son wants, how fast he wants updates, is nothing like what JP Morgan Chase wants, right? But they're all Windows users. So you have to figure out how do you make everybody happy and do this at the right level of cadence. Without, you know, you don't want to lose people because you're going too slow. You don't want to lose people because you're going too fast. And they have to, it's a real fine line.
Yeah. You can't break your agreement with the past. You know, we were talking earlier about Windows 8 versus 8.1 with update. The few businesses that did upgrade to Windows 8, they don't want to be forced to upgrade to 8.1 right now and forced to upgrade to some random update that's in the midstream. They have an understanding of the life cycle and they're going to move at their own pace. You know, and I think Microsoft will respect that, but yeah, it's a little different for every product.
So I just canceled my Expansus order because Daniel Rubino said I shouldn't have ordered it from them because it's not the US LTE bands.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so I'm glad it was delayed, and went to Newegg, but it's $170 more.
Oh wow! Yikes.
Is it really at $700?
They don't have red; they only have black and yellow.
They only have black, Oh, and yellow. Is it yellow? I didn't even know there was a yellow 1520.
Black and yellow, black and yellow.
There's going to be a green version soon and an orange version, I think. Oh, maybe just green. I think green is maybe green only on the 1520.
I think I'm going to get black and I'll get a funny case.
Yeah.
I'm going to get an Easter egg case. So I guess I'll get it faster from Newegg anyway. So.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But $170 more. I don't know why that is.
And it's, but is that one locked to AT&T?
Oh, I hope not. I don't think
it
so.
It probably is. And that might partially explain the cost difference, too.
This bastard. No, it's unlocked. But it is US LTE bands. That's the difference. Okay. I didn't realize that the one I ordered from Expansys was not US LTE bands.
So it's just like HSPA or whatever in the United States.
Yeah, so I'm glad. Daniel Rubino, thank you. A tip of the hat to Mr. WP phone.
Yeah, I've been talking about the 930, which is the international version of the Icon, and that would suffer from the same problem. It would run on AT&T, but I would only get HSPA Plus maybe or whatever the below LTE is called.
Okay. I'm just listening to the music coming from your interface.
I keep thinking I have a bug buzzing like near my ear.
So you can both hear it.
Oh, yeah. Out. What do you think? I'm imagining it?
This is interesting because you guys can hear the voices in my head.
Yeah. At least the bumblebee in your head.
Now you know what it's like to be me all the time. It's distracting.
I don't even want to do this next item.
Okay. Okay.
We'll just skip it.
No, because I don't like this horse race. So, but it is a story, which is that the Xbox One has now sold 5 million units.
So I actually think there's only one story here, right? In other words, the Xbox One has come out. It's selling at whatever rate it's selling at. The PS4 has come out. It's apparently beating it and so forth. People will point out accurately that the PS4 is sold in, you know, five times as many markets as the Xbox One, and that's part of it. That's absolutely part of it. But, you know, to be honest, the big part of the story is that in the United States, when Titanfall launched, even I said, well, Microsoft will get, like, this 1 month blip, you know, kind of a bump. Like, Xbox One will absolutely beat PS4 this month. It has. Titanfall's, like, the biggest thing in the world, we're told. But actually, I do find it notable that in the month in which Titanfall was launched, the PS4 still outsold Xbox One in the United States. Not worldwide, like just in the United States. And that's interesting. I mean, I actually do, you know, I agree with people who say it's a little early. It's a long game. I got all that stuff. That is not, I don't think anyone expected that. I don't think you could go back and find a single person who would have said, oh, yeah, PS4 will beat Xbox One that month. I don't think anyone believed that. In fact, the story the month before was that the gap was getting smaller. And so clearly Titanfall would put Xbox One over the hump, and it didn't. And that actually should be troubling to anyone who's an Xbox One fan. Paul says as he plays Call of Duty.
I think it's early days. We don't have we don't have very many big titles. I mean, one big title, Titanfall.
Yeah. Well, but the sheer amount of marketing effort that Microsoft put into Titanfall is what's amazing. I mean, they really, I have never seen them push anything like this. I mean, other than like a major Windows release.
No, it was Microsoft a big deal. Yeah.
And if you spend any time on Microsoft's Xbox properties in particular, God, it was like Titanfall, 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 Titanfall. You know, just here's behind the scenes of Titanfall. Here's what it's like. You know, here's a look at all the bots in Titanfall. Here's a look at all the, you know, it's like on and on and on and on. It was just Titanfall all the time. 24/7 Titanfall. And, you know, we have unfortunately, a lot of examples of where Microsoft marketing something doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be successful. But, again, I really do think if you follow the video game market, this was a surprise, I would imagine, to everybody.
I think that the making the horse race is, at this point, it's like, but I suppose developers look at it if they're making the choice. Although, you know, with a 3 or 4 year development cycle, nobody's deciding today. I mean, whatever they decide today, we're not going to see for years. So,
I would say that on the good news front, both of these things are selling a lot better than anyone anticipated as well. Mm-hmm. And they're roughly comparable given the different markets that they're in. They're both based on PC architecture, which means they're a lot easier to program for. And it's easier for developers to create games that will run on both, I would imagine. I don't do that, but I would imagine because of the common architecture, it's not as difficult as it was, say, PS3 versus Xbox 360. Right. So.
And we managed
don't forget,
to...
One note. Xbox is still only in 13 markets, as DiGiarati points
out. And PS4 is
that's where the big number.
Yeah.
I mean, that's and that's a big deal, right? I mean, it's not even in Japan yet, right?
Well, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
You don't? That's a huge
game. The Xbox One is bigger than the average Japanese apartment. I mean, you know.
No, that's a big gaming market.
No, it is, but it's never been a big Xbox market. Yeah.
I hear you. I hear you, man. And I hear you too, Paul. I don't know. It's getting like a... There's got to be something... You know, it could be, it could be in the power line.
It feels like something comes and goes. It's
well, for a while, it was just like a heartbeat. It wasn't annoying. Now it's
so
really
Just to be clear about this, you know, as Leo knows this, I mean, but the microphone is not...
It's not the mic.
Right. I think it's not plugged into power, right?
It's coming from your power line. It's the interface.
But the thing is, like, the interface is a fast track M-Audio.
I know. Right? We're replacing that.
And maybe it's not powered. It, in other words, it's not plugged into a power supply in the wall. It's plugged into USB. That's what's powering it. Yeah, so the computer is powering it.
Oh.
And I've tried it on two different computers, and it still happens. So it's not the computer. It's not whatever distortion, weirdness, you know, wireless baloney I've got going in my office is going through the computer, because it happens on my laptop, too.
Yeah, it's so strange.
So that's why I think it's the fast track.
Yeah, we'll replace it.
The thing has worked reliably for like 7 years.
It's worn out. It's tired. It's ready to go home, to go to the fast track in the sky.
Yeah, it's a fast track. The fast track in the sky is actually up by the garage. But yes, it will be. It will be dealt with accordingly.
Hey, we dodged a little bullet. Normally, the Microsoft earnings calls come in, you know, right at the end of the show. But today, it won't be today. It's going to be tomorrow. It's Thursday, this for a change. Oh, I guess we used to be on Thursday. That's why.
Right.
We moved.
I can't believe they didn't change it. Didn't you sort of expect they were going to change it?
I thought they might change it just to kind of keep, just to keep annoying us. Yeah. Right. So it'll have to be next week that we will cover the earnings. What should we be looking for in tomorrow's announcement?
Well, one thing you should look for is Satya Nadella is going to be on the call, which is very
and he would be
CEO.
And he is.
And you are.
Did you see that Alan Mulally's retiring at the end of the year?
I know. Yep. How crazy is that?
So I'm just saying, if Satya doesn't work out, we got a plan B. We got a plan B. All right. Yeah. No, he is
working
out.
What wasn't said, though, was whether any of the Microsoft impacted this decision. You know, did things sour for him?
They kind of push him out. He wanted to retire all along. When I talked to him 2 years ago, he was planning for his retirement.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't even know if he ever seriously considered Microsoft. If he did, it was pure ego. Yeah.
Well, we're going to find out, because he will absolutely be writing a book, or someone will write a book about him. I can't wait to hear about this.
I'll never forget the day Steve Ballmer and Ken Thompson called me at home. I was cleaning up after breakfast. The grandkids were out in the lawn. And Ken said, he said, Alan, we got something we'd like to talk to you about.
It's developers.
How does $50 million in your 401k sound to you right now? Anyway, we'll find out what Microsoft made last quarter. Should be, there's nothing we don't know. They'll say they sold 20 million units of Windows a month.
They probably won't talk about that.
They're not going to talk about that, are they?
I bet they won't. I mean, because the PC market's soft, right? And they don't want to highlight that. It'll be interesting to see if they talk about Surface sales.
Any numbers they provide will be interesting. I don't know.
I mean, they put it in a way that you can't really figure out what the numbers are, right?
In other words, they'll say Surface sales in whatever quarter were 112% above the same quarter a year ago. It would be something like that. Yeah.
I just want to tell Audible I'm available to read Alan Mulally's memoirs when they come out, and I will do it in that voice.
Nice. I didn't picture him talking like that.
I'm Alan Mulally. You may remember me as the CEO of Ford. Well, it's been a bumpy ride. It's not been easy, and I'm going to tell the truth. I hate the freaking Mustang.
That would be, no. That would be excellent.
Oh, man.
I can't wait until he buys a Lexus on the day that he retires.
I really like Alan. No, actually, I asked him when I first met him, what do you drive? He says, I never drive Fords. I drive everybody else's car because my job is to see what the other guys are doing so we can beat them.
Nice cop out. I like it.
You see that BMW
that's
out
why
there?
I use a MacBook Air, Leo, because
that's mine. I wouldn't drive a Ford if you paid me.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Then someone whispers in his ear.
Mr. Mullally.
Yeah, we talked about this, Mr. Mullally.
No, I drive a 777 Boeing. Let's take a break. We got a pick. We got an enterprise pick. We got beer. We got everything you could ever want coming up. The back of the book is next. But first, a word. What are you laughing at?
I'm thinking about your Alan Mullally.
Alan Mullally here. Hey, Ken.
Sorry.
Ken, Steve, let me talk to you. This Ford thing is not going to go forever, you know. I may someday want to run a software company in Redmond. God, I'm going to pot you out because you are noisy as heck. And it sounds like there's bees in your bonnet there, Paul. Our show today brought to you by Citrix. Love the share file. Got to love the share file. I use it every day. I'm going to use it today because I record commercials for the radio show on Wednesdays, and I send them out via share file. Actually, it's kind of cool. I don't even have to really send them out at all because share file automatically synchronizes the particular folders I've selected, my ShareFire folders on my desk. So when I save audio out via ShareFile, they automatically get a notice. Let me log in. I'll show you my ShareFile account. They automatically get a notice that says, Leo just uploaded new audio to his ShareFile. Here's where you download it. ShareFile is just the easiest way to share files in business. One of the issues in business is, you know, you do send a lot of files all the time. You get emails and letters and so forth. And probably the last thing you want to do is share those via attachments. You know, the PowerPoint presentations, the contracts, the, you know, PDFs, all of that stuff. With ShareFile, you don't have to. You could send a secure link. And with a secure link, you get a lot of protection. The secure link, you can say, I want to see who downloaded it when. I get an email whenever they download it. I want to see, I want to say they can only have it for a week or a month. I do that actually a lot of times with commercials. So let me just show you what's going on here. Some voice tracks. This is my share file, by the way, interface on the web. These are files. I didn't have to upload these. You can upload directly, but I didn't have to because it syncs automatically. I'm going to send a WKCY their. Hi, this is Leo Laporte. Whatever, I'm in Detroit. So you can send the email directly. If you use the Outlook plugin, it looks just like an email attachment. It's not. It's better. You can say, email me when the item's been downloaded. I can require a name and email address before downloading. But you don't have to have a ShareFile account to get the file. You don't have to sign up if, you know, unless I say so. You can say how long it lasts. A day, a week, a month, a year. It never expires. How many downloads per user? I'm going to send that link. This is the secure link. I just attached that to the email. And let me show you what they get when they click that link. Just a beautiful, simple page with my branding. So they, you know, it doesn't look like it, they know it came from me. I got my logo on it and a download button. No login, no elaborate procedures. It makes it easy to share files with colleagues, with clients. It's HIPAA compliant. In fact, it's compliant with regulations in many industries, including, I might add, the SEC, so if you're in financial business, the financial services industry, the share files are a must. Why don't you try it for 30 days? Or if you're in a business and you want the business to try it, tell the decider in chief, who that is, whoever that is, the CTO, CIO, your boss, to try it. All they have to do is visit ShareFile.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter in the offer code WINDOWS, WINDOWS. Do if you can. I mean, you don't have to, but if you select the industry, you'll see the benefits. ShareFile will be customized for the industry you're in, and you'll see the benefits from everything from financial services, food services, legal, insurance, marketing, music. If you're an attorney and you're still attaching pleadings to email, I got a pleading from my attorney the other day. Come on. You know that everybody can read that all along the way? That's not secure. ShareFile even allows you to ask for files from clients and colleagues, so they don't have to have a ShareFile account. I think this is great. I want you to try it free for 30 days. ShareFile.com. Click the microphone at the top where it says podcast listeners. Click here. They kind of hide that. Click that microphone at the top and use the offer code Windows, and they'll know you heard about it on Windows Weekly. ShareFile.com. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and a busy little bumblebee going from flower to flower gathering nectar. Just as Paul Thurrott goes from site to site to gather tips of the week. Oh. And here they are.
What are we doing?
Windows 8.1. Windows Phone 8.1 tips. This is for me.
Are there eggs, Leo?
This is, so, this is for me.
I just have a couple of more. Windows Phone 8.1 tips. This is going to go on for a while. The more I look at this, it's interesting how many small and actually some big ones too, but how many changes there are in Windows Phone 8.1. And yesterday we just learned about a Microsoft application that finally allows you to project your Windows Phone screen to your PC over USB, which is how you would typically connect it to, you know, to power it or to sync it. And this is something I wanted 2 years ago. You know, when Windows Phone first came out, I wanted to do video tutorials and all that kind of stuff. And Microsoft had that capability in-house, but they weren't really giving it out to others. And they needed special builds of Windows Phone to make it happen. And now it's just part of Windows Phone. And so if you have Windows Phone 8.1, you can connect it with a USB cable, get the Microsoft app, and project it onto the screen. You get the little touch circle. If you want that in there, you can choose what color it is. It's live, and so it's not static screenshots. It's literally your screen, so you can scroll through stuff and present and show people, you know, things. And it's for people that need to do online learning or any of that kind of stuff. This is an amazing tool. If you have I think it's just the Lumia icon right now, but in the future, it's possible some of the newer devices like the 1520 might pick this up. But you can also apparently do Miracast-based screen projection, which I've not tried yet. I'll probably be writing that up sometime in the next week. But that allows you, if you have a Miracast-equipped screen of any kind, you know, these days you probably need like an add-on device. But in the future, I would imagine some screens will just come with this capability. And that works but it works in a similar fashion to how it works in Windows 8.1. I would say most people today probably use Miracast because they're watching a movie on some service and they want to put it up on a big screen. You could certainly do that. I'm not sure that would be ideal on a phone, but you could do that. But this is just a kind of a wireless way to project your phone screen onto a big screen so other people can see it. So kind of a cool capability. The other one is, this is a fairly profound change in Windows Phone 8.1, and it's one that's not very well understood, but Microsoft has changed the way that social networks integrate with the OS. And so in previous versions of Windows Phone, they would integrate through the operating system itself. And this is the thing we were talking about earlier, where if Facebook updated the service or LinkedIn did or Twitter, that integration part would not be upgraded along with it, and so you would lose functionality. The way that it works now in 8.1 is that the integration occurs through the apps, thanks to this new framework that they have. And so instead of having the built-in OS integration bits, it occurs in an app. And apps, of course, can be updated all the time. Some people have complained about it because they say it's a little slower. You know, if you want to do something like check in on Facebook, it actually launches the Facebook application instead of going to a kind of a native Windows Phone experience. But I honestly think in this case that the pros outweigh the cons by a wide margin, and that this overall is going to be an important change and one that is, I think, a big deal. So I think it's good stuff. And I also wrote up one about Internet Explorer navigation in Windows Phone 8.1. And so basically what you're getting is essentially the same browser that you see on the desktop or at least on the tablet. I think the coolest one, and this is not going to be news to people that use iPhones, but it picks up that same kind of cool tablet-based navigation scheme where you can flick the screen to go back instead of having a back button, or you can flick the screen in the other direction to go forward, which doesn't happen as often, but you can, if you need that, it's there. And, you know, on a phone, I think that's actually particularly important because the phone screen is so small that those buttons taking up space on the address bar or whatever is just another, you know, it's just another place where UI is taking over the screen. And so integrating it right into the display is just such a cool way to do it. And so I'll probably consolidate these all into one overall article about, you know, a tips article for Windows Phone 8.1 sometime over the weekend. But so far, I think I have 12 or 15 of them, and there'll be many more. But those are some of the ones that occurred since our last show, I guess.
And I'm collecting them all because someday I too.
collect them all.
Collect the whole set, kids. Someday I too will have a Windows Phone 8.1.
So some good stuff there.
Yay.
The pick of the week is something that a lot of people have been waiting for a long, long time, which is a remote desktop app from Microsoft for Windows Phone. And it turns out for Windows Phone 8.1. It looks and works a lot like the version that you can get now on Windows 8.1, you know, the Metro type app. In fact, when you look at the description for this app in the Windows Phone Store, it actually says it's for Windows phones and PCs. And that's that new logo that Microsoft is giving out for these universal apps. And so I don't know for a fact that this is a universal app. It may just be a port of the kind of modern or Metro style app that they already had on Windows 8.1. But I actually would be surprised if it wasn't. I this could very well be exactly the same app. And if so, this might in fact be the first universal app.
How can you tell?
If you scroll down on the left, yeah, it says made for Windows phones and Windows PCs.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, really interesting. So, you know, the Windows version, the PC version, has been around for a while and is included in Windows 8.1. And so now here's the version for Windows Phone. It's a preview. It's just an early version, but it's a big deal for people. I know a lot of people have been waiting for this and more than a little burned that Microsoft had released remote desktop apps on other mobile platforms before Windows Phone. So it's finally here. It's not complete, I guess. It's an app preview, but it is there.
Yeah, one thing we should mention, because a few people have asked me about this, what this app is, does it support remote desktop gateway? And right now in preview, it does not, but all Microsoft is saying it does not currently support that. So they're not ruling that out if you're panicking about that.
If you look at the modern version, you know, the version in Windows 8.1, which, by the way, does support remote desktop gateway. I think that's the goal. I think the goal is for it to be that app. And I think it will literally, in fact, be that app. So I think it's reasonable to expect that's coming.
You know, somebody in the chat room was asking me to ask you, Mary Jo, how you like your Acer so far, and are you getting used to touch, maybe even dabbling a little in it?
I am still liking it a lot, and I am doing a little touch, like pinch and zoom and all that, but I definitely am way happier when I attach my mouse to it and use it with the mouse.
All right. So you'd still recommend it?
Yeah, I would. The battery life's been really good, and the keyboard's good. The screen resolution's really good. I haven't had any problems with it.
And it's
knock
so
on
thin.
Plastic.
So
it's so
beautiful.
Thin and so light.
Yeah.
I keep thinking when I put it in my bag and leave, I keep thinking I'm forgetting my laptop, and that's a good feeling.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Not forgetting
it?
Your laptop, but
no, it's so light you don't know what's in there. That's great.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Acer S7, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And your enterprise pick of the week.
I have two. The first one is more free ebooks because everybody loves these when these come up. So Microsoft Press has a link on MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com/ebooks for a whole bunch of free ebooks about enterprise stuff. System centers, there's some books on that. Azure, Windows Server. So if you're somebody who's looking for books on those topics, you might want to check that link out. And it was listener John Balderon who tipped me off to that originally. So thanks, John, for that.
And they come in PDF, Mobi, or EPUB.
They do.
So you could put it pretty much on anything. That's nice.
Which is cool.
That's really nice.
The second pick is a SharePoint pick, and not because Todd is there. This just happened to be a pick already.
Although Todd is taking a victory lap right now.
He is, I'm sure. The tip about this is Microsoft had to suspend distribution of SharePoint 2013 Service Pack 1 because it was creating some problems for people. Once they applied it, they were having trouble applying fixes beyond that. So Microsoft rolled that original Service Pack 1 out in February. In early April, they suspended distribution of it. And just today or yesterday, I believe yesterday, they are now redistributing it again. So if you go and look, I have some links on my site where you can go get all the different links for the new KB articles that describe what's in there and links to getting the downloads. But it's all there now. It's updated and fixed. It also includes some additional features, and Microsoft is advising you if you did manage somehow to get SP1 on your SharePoint Server 2013 system to download it again on top.
Ugh. I get
Ooh,
I get
it's not fun. Not
service
fun.
Pack all over my SharePoint.
Right.
But if you replace it just on top of it, it will fix everything. And
that's what it says.
That's what Todd says, too. He's nodding.
Okay. Yeah. If you got the slipstreamed ISO from MSDN or Volume Licensing Center, you don't need to do anything. That wasn't affected. So you're okay if you got it that way.
In astronomy, the astronomer who discovers the distant heavenly body gets to name it after themselves. Well, it's the same in technology. No, it's not. Somehow, Mary Jo did get the rights to codename something.
I did.
But you didn't know what it was that you were codenaming.
I didn't. No, this was funny. I talked about this on the show a few episodes back. I said, Clemens Vasters, who works on Azure, said to me, if you could codename anything at Microsoft, give me a codename. So I gave him Reykjavik. And he said, okay, I'm going to make something with that codename and I'm not going to tell you what it is. Well,
that's so awesome.
At Build this year, I found out what it was because there was a session where they actually said, here's Reykjavik, and Mary Jo Foley named
did
this
you
product.
You did. They even gave you credit.
They did. And I could, you know what's so horrible? I couldn't get into that session. It was so full. I was begging. I was pleading outside the door at Build, and they wouldn't let me
you
in.
You would have gone, squee.
I would have like taken a bow if I had been there. So what Reykjavik is, and this is pretty interesting, it's a gateway that they're building with Azure Service Bus, which is the messaging bus for Azure. And it's going to be used for the Internet of Things. Microsoft already announced that there was a data service for Internet of Things. That's what Satya Nadella announced recently. And this sounds to me like there's another service coming, probably a lower level service involving this Reykjavik gateway that Clemens and his team are building. That's my guess what that's going to be used for. But the gateway itself is definitely codenamed Reykjavik. So now
wouldn't
we
know.
Would
it be cool if you'd like created there'll be a slew of Icelandic secret names now because of you?
I know. Well, you know why I picked that name? Because when Microsoft does a codename, you want it to be something easy to identify. You don't want it to have a common codename like Remix or Mix, those kind of codenames.
Because then you can Google search it. Or I'm sorry, Bing it.
Bing it. Bing it.
Sorry.
So yeah, that was pretty cool though. Now we know what.
I forget what show I'm on.
So do we. We just start talking about Android and Apple.
Don't ever talk about Android during MacBreak Weekly. Poor Alex Lindsay got flamed.
Oh wow!
How dare you?
Yikes!
But fortunately, he had some Speakeasy Black Hand Sweet Stout ready, and all the pain is gone now.
That's good, right?
Is that your beer pick of the week?
It is, in fact. Speakeasy from San Francisco teamed up with a chocolatier out there, TCHO.
Yeah, Cho.
Do you know them?
I do know them. They were started there. It's actually a tech angle on that. They were
really?
Yeah, they were started. I'm trying to remember the name. They were started by a successful tech entrepreneur, startup guy, who said, I want to do chocolate, and I want to do it right, where we're not a remelter. We get we source the beans. We do the whole thing. And Cho is very good chocolate.
Ooh. Well, so this is Speakeasy teamed with these guys.
Ooh, yum, yeah. Yum.
And they said, you know what? I've been doing a lot of hoppy beer picks. I admit it. So I said, let me find something that's not a hoppy beer. Well, this is like the smoothest, most chocolatey stout ever. It's called Black Hand. It actually has a little chocolate in it, which is interesting. And it's they call it a sweet stout because it is like a milk stout, somewhat sweet. And more like a dessert kind of a beer, but it's very good. I had some this week and it was delightful.
According to the press release, the name Black Hand refers to the
All right.
Prohibition era practice in which mobsters would stamp the kidnapped victim's handprint on a ransom note.
Yeah, okay.
So there is, if you look carefully, there's a secret note hidden in the design of the bottles.
Pretty cool.
If you should find it, you will know exactly what to do. Now I've got to buy a bottle.
Yeah.
Secret
it's good.
Code.
I think you would like it. If you like...
I like stouts in general, and I think a little chocolatey stout would be delicious, yeah.
Very, very nice. Yes.
That sounds very tempting. Cho.
Cho. I'm gonna so you look say them cho, up.
Cho, yeah. They sent me some chocolate.
Nice.
They're in San Francisco. It was founded by Timothy Childs, T-C-H, get it? A technology and chocolate entrepreneur who used to do vision systems for the space shuttle program. And then, so he has kind of this tech angle. But the people I was thinking of, are, and you would know the names, Louis Rossetto and Jane Metcalf, who started...
Oh, wow. Metcalf.
Yeah,
yep.
They started Wired Magazine.
Yep.
And they are the CEO and president of Cho. So it's the two who started Wired Magazine currently run Cho. So it's kind of a neat story.
Very.
Rossetto and Metcalf. Cho chocolate, if you ever get a chance. It's not just for beer anymore.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this thrilling, gripping edition of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, we will now turn him back, him and his bee back on. Mm-hmm. We will get you a new interface. Somebody said, check your thermometer. Ooh. You don't have a transmitting thermometer in there.
No.
That's silly. It's crazy talk. We think we know what it is. We're sending him a new piece of equipment. There it is again.
What if it doesn't fix it? I'll be so confused. I really thought I had this. You know, Mary Jo and I tested this extensively. Yeah. I thought we had it. And then I talked to... who did I talk to? I talked to someone else, but it was like, what is that horrible, you know, and I make work calls with Skype, you know, so it's kind of a...
Well, what's weird is it comes and goes.
Yeah.
So we'll figure out a way.
It's a mood noise. As I get more angry, it gets...
mood noise.
I don't know what it is, yeah.
Now, Paul is at the Supersite for Windows, where there is, in fact, no buzzing. It's winsupersite.com. You'll also find his books online, including the Windows... Phone 8.1 book. It was windowsphone81book.com. And what's happening with the Xbox Music book? Is that moving along?
It's coming. It's in progress. All right. Released an update sometime this week.
Cool.
Yep.
It's all at Supersite. If you go there, everything. In fact, and I presume, Paul, I can go there and read your all, you know, there'll be some link that says all of everything Paul's ever written about Windows Phone 8.1. And it would just go there, right?
Yeah, there is such a link, actually.
Yeah, so that's because I haven't been writing these all down, but I figure I'll just go there and I'll just, you know, go through it. By the way, I should be getting my phone. I will have my phone before next week.
Yeah.
I should have gone to Newegg in the first place. I just, out of habit, I always go to Expansys, but that's a European company, and this way I'll get the American LTE.
Right.
Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. She writes there, and as you can see from the show, there she writes about a broad variety of things, even Xbox.
Every now and again.
Once in a while. Paul, Mary Jo, thanks for joining us. If you want to join us live, we do the show every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. You can tune in live, or you can even join us in studio, as Todd and company have. Email tix at twit. Well, I don't know anybody else's name. That's why it's Todd and company.
Did they complain? Like, really?
Yeah, they're going, hey, what am I, chopped liver? The Norwegian guy and Todd's buddy from...
I assume that they drove Todd. Is that not what
Todd's happened? Todd's driver, yeah.
Yeah.
Is here.
There's going to be a pantsing later because of this.
Yeah, there is.
Tears will be shed.
Yeah.
So if you want to join us in studio, email tix. I guess tick. I don't know. Is it tix or tickets? Tickets, I think. I don't know. Just don't email me. Hey, Liz. What should they email? Tickets? Tix? What? Tickets. Like the full spelled out word. Tickets at twit.tv. And it's not required if you're in town and you want to show up. We're in Petaluma, Northern California. Just come on in. But this way we'll have a chair out for you. We could put keys to your new car underneath it. It just makes it so we can prep for you. Yeah, they're looking now. Which one of these statements is a bald-faced lie? You get to decide. If you can't be here live, in studio, or on the internet, you can always get on-demand audio and video after the fact at twit.tv/WW for Windows Weekly. Or, you know, subscribe in your Xbox store. Actually, the new podcast app on Windows Phone 8.1. Make sure you get every episode. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Wednesday on Windows Weekly.